Now let's go to birds, and a new strain of bird flu may threaten native species if it reaches Aotearoa's shores. Avian influenza A, H5N1, has been spreading throughout Asia since 2014. It's now reached other parts of the world. In Europe, 48 million birds have been culled in the last year in an effort to curtail it. In the US, 50 million birds have died. Now, the disease has also been recently detected in Peru. Nearly 14,000 pelicans and seabirds have died. And also in South Africa, with an outbreak among African penguins in Cape Town. Well, let's discuss this with one of the country's leading wildlife veterinary experts, Massey University Professor Brett Gartrell. Kia ora, Brett.
Kia ora, Susie. Thank you for talking to me about this topic. It's quite terrifying, and I think it's good to get some information out there about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's get some facts around some of this. I mean, those numbers sound quite frightening in the grand scheme of things. How bad is the current global outbreak?
It's unprecedented. We've had avian influenza in birds for a very long time, and it grumbles along and it causes major losses for the poultry industry overseas. But this current strain is different in that it is much more likely to spread between different species of wild birds, and it's much more likely to cause serious disease and death in those wild birds as well. And this has enabled it to travel around the globe in a way that we haven't seen before. So, you know, the nearly 50 million birds that have died in the US, that's just this year alone, and it only entered the country the previous year. So it's a really scary variant of the avian influenza. Now, I do want to point out right at the start that this strain doesn't cause much disease in people. The risk of it causing disease in people is low, but avian influenzas, of course, can do if they mutate or change. And so wherever this disease is occurring, human health authorities are tending to take very strong precautionary principles around human health, which means that our ability to respond to the wildlife and animal health situations is sometimes quite limited.
Is it likely to die down, to fizzle out? I mean, why is it so bad at the moment?
Eventually, this epidemic will run its course, as all epidemics do. But it's moving into areas where we haven't seen highly pathogenic avian influenza before. And the avian flus, like in people, they having been infected with flu in a previous year doesn't give you protection for a new variant of the flu that comes through. So the birds that are being exposed to this flu have no immunity to it. And that's our concern with New Zealand birds in particular, is that we haven't had an avian influenza outbreak here for a very long time. We've got what we call low pathogenic avian influenzas circulating in waterfowl, but they're not going to give our birds any immunity at all to this virus if it gets into the country. And if it gets here, I fear for some of our more critically endangered species.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in just a moment. Still on the global side of things, though, how is it being handled? Is it something that we have under control to some extent?
No, not at all. Because of the way this one is spreading, basically control is around protecting poultry industries and human health. It's not about, in general, trying to protect wild bird populations at all. There's no vaccine available. There's no treatment available for this. And so trying to control it in, say, poultry flocks and things like that is about killing every infected bird and all of those in an area around it to try and stop the disease spreading. I don't think we have this under control at all. I think we are watching it spread across the globe. And we are incredibly lucky because of our geographic position in New Zealand. We're very, very isolated, and that's limited the risk for it entering. But I think we can't get complacent about this, because we do have migratory birds that come down from the northern hemisphere, and we have seabirds that migrate across the circumpolar regions of the southern hemisphere. And if those birds can bring it here, then once it gets it only takes one infected bird for it to get established in a country.
Yeah, so I suppose people will be thinking about, amongst other things, godwits in sort of in the context of New Zealand. And could they bring it here?
Yeah, that's certainly one of the more likely species that could bring it here. The dogma has always been that if a bird gets infected with avian influenza, it will be too sick to do its migration. And the good thing about this virus is that once birds recover from infection, they don't go on to shed the virus in most cases, like we do see with some other diseases. So we don't get Typhoid Mary birds coming around and after they've gone through the illness and infecting other birds. But the incubation period of the disease can be quite variable. So that means that the time between the birds getting infected and starting to show signs of disease is generally about a week, but sometimes it can be longer. And we know from the excellent work done by some of our ornithologists is that our shorebirds can migrate from Alaska down to New Zealand in as little as 7 days. So that's the direct route of entry, but there's also the possibility that this virus might leapfrog down around the world. And we think this is how it's spreading more, is that because this virus is spreading between different species of wildlife, it's not just worrying about a particular bird species that's the issue here. It could jump into a species that moves down through Europe and then jump for a species that moves into Australia and then jump into a species that moves across into New Zealand. So there's a real risk of it entering through the wild birds.
What
But
kind
there's
of,
also the,
yeah, what kind
sorry.
of species are we talking about that could be helping with this jump across the continents?
Seabirds and shorebirds are the most common ones that are being seen in this outbreak, but waterfowl in particular, migratory waterfowl, are a big way that this virus moves through Asia and Europe. Now, we don't have any waterfowl that migrate into New Zealand, but if the virus enters into New Zealand through shorebirds and then enters waterfowl, our ducks will spread it all around the country. And so the key point for any trying to prevent it becoming established in New Zealand is to stop it before it gets into the waterfowl.
We should say we went to the Ministry of Primary Industries about this and have a response from the Chief Veterinary Officer, Mary Van Andel. Biosecurity is continually monitoring this situation overseas. New Zealand's never had a case of this, and they say currently the risk of it arriving is still considered low, and there are systems in place to ensure early detection if it were to arrive. Are you confident that those systems are robust?
MPI is doing good work and they have got a long-standing surveillance program in what I would consider to be the second line of surveillance, which is in the waterfowl themselves. They are also doing frontline investigations. So if there is mortality of shorebirds or seabirds that is unusual, they will check for avian influenza there. What I would like to see though is more surveillance at that front line. So I would like to see them out sampling shorebirds and seabirds, and that they're not currently doing that at the moment. But apart from that, yes, MPI are aware of this and they are doing some good work. I just would like it to ramp up their priority list a little at the moment. They obviously are dealing with multiple threats to the country, particularly the risk of foot and mouth disease coming in from Indonesia and things like that. But for me, my focus is on wildlife health and particular our endangered birds. And I see this as a real threat process, something that could really endanger our bird populations.
So if we were to get a case in New Zealand, if that was to come in, what is the next step? What would happen to attempt to control it?
Yeah, well, this is where MPI, if they do have plans, they're not sharing them with us. They are saying that, but based on experience from overseas, the most likely response is that we would be trying to cull any infected birds and any birds that may pose a risk of spreading the infection further on.
Okay, so
So,
what does that mean
but
in real world terms? I guess
yes.
in a geographical location, there would be a certain number of all the birds in a certain area would have to be culled. Is that the outcome?
Yes, that's most likely, but MPI haven't confirmed that with us, despite us asking for some more details about that. I mean, we don't know what the scenario is. Say, if we detected in a godwit, we have a, let's say we have a group of godwits at Foxton Estuary that are infected and dying. We don't know what MPI's response would be to that situation. But What we know from overseas is that where authorities have been trying to control this is that they have killed birds in up to a 5 kilometre radius around the site of the infection. And that includes domestic birds, backyard poultry, pet birds, anything that could potentially carry the disease. What we haven't really got any clarity on is what this would mean for wildlife populations. This is just my opinion. I haven't been able to get an answer out of MPI as to what they would do, but I think what they would likely do is they would have to make that very hard decision to kill even protected wildlife in an outbreak to try and prevent it spreading further into the country.
So
There,
just to
there,
be
there's
just to
benefits
be
to doing.
really just to be really clear on this, we don't have this confirmed from MPI, but
That's correct.
say it was within this 5K radius, you're saying native birds, which I guess could be under threat themselves, could be culled to stop any further infection spreading across New Zealand.
Yes, and there would be some really difficult decisions to make there, because if there's a chance to prevent this coming into the country, it should be taken, even if that does mean killing birds in that area. But that's going to be extremely hard for people on the ground. So either people who have been working with wild populations, let's say it was up in Auckland, we had a fairy tern colony affected or something like that. Or if it was, on Motutapu Island and we had the Tutu Ruata, the shore plover that are there affected. MPI would need to be, will be working with Department of Conservation and wildlife vets and everybody else to try and make those decisions. But those decisions would have to be made very, very quickly to stop the virus becoming established in the country. I think it's horrible, but I think it's something that would need to be done in that situation, because the consequences, if it did spread within the country, will be far more severe. And you can see that in the effects that this virus is having around the world. The South African penguin outbreak that you spoke of. SANCOB is a partner of ours. We work with them in our oil spoil response and research programs and things like that. And they rehabilitate a huge number of African penguins from their center. And that's been shut down at the moment because of this avian influenza outbreak. All their work has been stopped. And because there's a, even though it's a very low risk to human health, they're not allowed to work with the birds or deal with the birds. And that could potentially, if that happened here in New Zealand, that could bring a halt to a whole range of conservation programs and things like that.
The timing here, how significant is it that we're having this conversation? Today it's what is it, the end of spring, beginning of summer. Where are we at with migration of birds into the country?
Yeah, so we will be seeing migratory birds coming in for after the breeding season up in Alaska and the Northern Hemisphere. So what I would really like is for all the people who are out on the shoreline, who are out doing work with the shorebirds, particularly the Birds New Zealand people, to be really vigilant for unusual mortalities, and if they see anything, to be really proactive about calling the Ministry of Primary Industry hotline as quickly as possible, because we only have this very narrow window of time to respond. So if this disease comes in through with the migratory shorebirds, it will be in that spring summer period. If it comes in through seabirds or say through smuggled eggs, which is another way this virus can travel, it can actually travel inside eggs, then we could see an outbreak at any time of year. And while we talk about the effects of this on the commercial poultry industry, it's also important to point out that overseas, people with backyard poultry are having their flocks culled as well. So this could potentially affect anyone who has birds or deals with birds.
Or any pet birds, I suppose, as well. Now, Biosecurity New Zealand, in this statement that we have from MPI, did say that would be the lead agency and would coordinate any response. Any actions such as movement control, vaccination, or culling would depend on the extent of the detection and whether it's found in wild birds, zoo or sanctuary, or pet birds, or indeed in poultry. Now, vaccination is the word that jumps out at me from that. Should we be vaccinating some of our native species ahead of this?
That was discussed back when H5N1 first reared its head back in about 2012 or something like that. And at the time, the Ministry of Primary Industry made plans to provide vaccination to critically endangered species like the kakapo and things like that, but only if the virus had already entered the country, because they are worried that, well, they need to be able to do surveillance in the absence of the virus, and the vaccine will muck up that surveillance is the thought process there. So yes, vaccination would be a tool that we could use if it came into the country, but we're not allowed to use it ahead of it coming into the country, is my understanding.
Okay, presumably, though, birds would take some time to have an immune response to a vaccination, though.
Yes, absolutely. So it'll be one of those things where we are hoping MPI has everything planned and ready to go for when the virus come, if the virus does come here, but we haven't seen the detail of those response plans.
So, if people are out and about over the next few weeks, what sorts of things should they be looking out for if they see birds? What sort of behaviours do they display if they have this H5N1?
Yeah. Well, this strain of the avian influenza seems to affect primarily the brain of the birds. And so the birds are found overseas, the birds are being found with twitches, seizuring, they have cloudy eyes. Some appear quite tame in that people, wild birds that would normally flee from people, people can go right up to, and they'll be sitting there hunched up and looking sad. And so it's those kind of very vague signs that would worry you. And there are a number of other diseases that can cause signs like that. So not every bird that looks like that is going to have avian influenza. But if you see anything like that at all, it's best to ring the hotline, and they and MPI will respond and send someone out to sort it out. It's really important that, you know, we're used to here in New Zealand is if we see sick wildlife or injured wildlife, we respond to it. We go out, we pick them up, we try and make them better. The danger is here, and this is what happened with the South African penguin place, is that if an infected bird comes into our wildlife hospitals that are scattered around the country, then that wildlife hospital will get closed down, and potentially all the birds inside it could get killed as well.
So this is much more important in that case to ring that number. Thank you very much, Massey University Professor Brett Gartrell there. Talking about avian influenza, bird flu, H5N1. Now, that number, the hotline to ring is 0800 80 99 66. 0800 80 99 66. If you see any birds behaving unusually, don't bring them into the wildlife hospitals. Ring MPI instead. Good advice there from Brett Gartrell.